WISR now presents It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey. Dave is off today, so we have a special guest host. It's Your Turn is Butler County's only live call-in talk show. You can join in the conversation by calling 724-283-2525. And now, let's join It's Your Turn and today's special guest host.
And you can join in on the conversation if you want. 283-2525 is the number here, 283-2525. I'd love to talk to you today for a few minutes. I know we have some interviews coming up, one on standby. Not quite sure if we'll get to it, but I know what we will get to definitely after 1 o'clock is the eSports conversation that's been going on. South Butler, or, well, Knock. I know we keep getting into this discussion that South Butler likely to change that name to Knock, so we just have to get used to that. But Knock, not that it's a foreign name that we haven't been saying for years anyway, it's just we've always referenced it two different ways. So Knock High School offering an eSports team, and we're going to be talking about what that looks like and why have that. You know, I think it's excellent. I think it's a great idea, personally, because I have kids who love that kind of I'll say sport because now it is a sport. So we're going to talk about that after 1 o'clock. If you want to call me and talk about Christmas, we can do that for a few minutes. 283-2525. What did you get? What did you get you didn't like? You know you got a gift you didn't like. And then what did you get that you would take back? Would you re-gift any of these? Or what was your favorite? And what was your favorite gift? 283-2525. Holidays were good. Man, was it foggy. Christmas Eve. Did you go out too, Pat? Yeah? Man, we went to church. I mean, it's part of what we do. And on Christmas Eve, we went to the, I got to think back, 7 o'clock. Yeah, it was a whole 2 days ago. 7 o'clock service. So we were out around, you know, just after 6, trying to get there on time. But at the same time, we knew it was foggy. But we didn't even leave our driveway yet. And we thought, wow, this is going to be tricky. And we left the driveway, and then we're on, you know, one of the back roads that where you don't have the white line and the yellow line, so you can kind of gauge where you are, and nothing. And then every now and then, we'd kind of veer off the road a little bit. We're like, oh, let's get back on the road. We went, I don't know how what the speed was. I don't even know if it was 20 miles an hour for quite some time. And, yeah, we crept. We crept and crept, but we made it. But, boy, that was thick. And then when we turned on to the road where our church is, my husband and I chuckled because the beautiful candelabras are, do I have that right? Not candelabras, those things that are lit that are in the, yeah, so those, the candles that are out. When they were out, we were like, well, thank goodness we know where we turn on the road. They were kind of like runway lights where planes land on that strip because we had no clue of where the road was. That's how thick, and I'm not kidding. When we go up to a road, we're like, there it is. All right, and let's turn. So we're glad that the candles were out, but then the odd thing was, is when you get up to where we are at church, you could step out of the doors and typically see the road. I mean, you saw 356 out there, and you would see all the cars in the parking lot. You couldn't see past the building. It was the weirdest thing. So you could see the candles as you went past them, but then when you were actually at the doors, you could not even see the parking lot. Literally, and that was the thing, too. When we pulled up, my husband said, oh, there's nobody here. And it took us to get right next to the parking lot for us to say, no, there's a car, and there's a car, there's a car. Did it feel like Washington, Seattle, London? I don't know what it was like when it was foggy there. So, yeah, it was quite thick, but I'm glad that everybody was able to get out and going where they were going. And then Saturday morning. See, I'm messed up because it's like Christmas in the middle of the week. It's like, what day are we on? We're on Thursday. So yesterday when we woke up, it was like nice and sunny, and everything was gone. So it was just bizarre. I don't remember fog like that, and I don't even remember, Pat, if we've ever had even fog, period. We've had rain. We've had snow. We've had sunshine. I can't remember the last day, which I know we probably had this warm of temperatures at some point, but I don't remember it being 50-some on Christmas. So just bizarre. But anyway, good holiday. Good holiday. And glad yours was good. I hope it was. And we still get to hear Christmas music. And coming in today, Pat, I know, I was driving in the car, and it's, what, 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30, whenever, you know, I was getting here in the morning, because I was doing some other things with one of our other radio stations, but when I was in the car, I thought, you know what, I could still do some Christmas tunes. couldn't find them. And I thought, wait, we still play them. So I turned on our station to be able to drive in, because it's just that sudden stop of the busyness. You have the day and bam, done, next day. It's like, wow, it's just, it takes so much effort to get to the day because it is so much packed into that month. And then all of a sudden it's over. So we can still celebrate with WISR because we still do have the Christmas music as we go along for the next few days. All right, so what we're going to do, I'm going to talk about esports for a moment. And then we are going to get into a whole different conversation with Score Pittsburgh. Now, I talked to Score Pittsburgh a long time ago, quite a few months ago now at this point. And we are talking about how you set up a business. Because these are the days where we sit back sometimes to just take a breath. Whether we're still working or not, we kind of take a breath and think about, okay, what do we want to do in the new year? And I've had many conversations with people where they either set up their own business or were thinking about doing it, and there's a lot to it. So we're going to talk to Score Pittsburgh. We'll explain who Score is here in just a moment, and we'll talk about how you set up your own business. What can you expect? And I don't want to deter you from it, because there can be a lot that goes into setting up a side business or your own business. But still, it's worth the conversation, because a lot of us, I think, would like to have a plan B or just something on the side or something that we do that we know in and out from A to Z, and we just want to pass it on to other people, and we could make a business out of that. So we'll do that here in just a couple of minutes. But after 1 o'clock, like I mentioned before, we're going to talk about esports. And I found it interesting, not only because we've been doing stories with Nock and their esports club that will be offered in the spring of 2020 to their students. It's not open to the public, it's just their students right now. But still, I think it's worth the conversation to have, because if other school districts are thinking of this, what's it look like? How do you put that together? And why even have it? Now, some information came to us here at the station through Point Park University. And here's some information that came off of this press release, I guess you could call it, to Point Park University. They're going to offer an esports team in the fall of 2020. So they're not going to do it for quite a few months, but still next year they're planning on doing this. And they're going to be affiliated with the National Association of Collegiate Sports. Now, of course, NOC is not collegiate, but still, this is the point that I'm trying to make, is how popular it is. There is a quote in here from a university, I think it's the Point Park director, and he said, "We continue to try to find new ways to engage our students and tap into the growing popularity of esports, and it's bound to create excitement among both current and prospective students." Now, Point Park hosted the Steel City Showdown, and that was the largest esports tournament in the Pittsburgh area in history. Well, for Pittsburgh, you know, for the Pittsburgh area. Hundreds of gamers gathered at Point Park University, and they competed for prizes. And then it goes on to say in this press release that the Point Park University already had classes that they're offering with the business of esports. That's what the class is called, the business of esports. And so they're holding this, but let me get to the, $1.5 billion worth of an industry. So if you think it's just, oh, it's just gaming and it really doesn't take you anywhere, $16 million in scholarships through the NACE membership schools. And that's, again, a part of the, well, that is the governing body of the collegiate esports, NACE, NACE. So you're talking big business whenever you're getting into this. So if kids are into this kind of thing, and if they grow into being a part of the esports world, there's some, yeah, we'll talk about that with Nock High School, and they're offering their esports team here in, I don't know, a couple of months, because they're going to do it in the spring of 2020, and there's only a couple of months left of school as we get into the second half of the year. All right, so let's take a break. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey. Dave's just out for the day, taking a vacation day. Simple as that. Nothing more than that, but he's out for the day. And so let's take a break, and Pat's going to take us into a break on the other side. We'll talk to Score Pittsburgh first. After that, we'll talk about esports with Nock High School. Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey.
In 2019, Tri-Rivers celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
I'm Dr. Scott Rainey, an orthopedic back and neck surgeon at Tri-Rivers. Whether I'm in the office treating patients for conditions such as cervical or lumbar stenosis, or in the operating room performing innovative procedures like disc replacements, I'm proud to care for patients in the Butler community. learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way. Getting there stops here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical, just hop the bus. No car, no problem, the bus will get you there. Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Tracy Morgan, talking about business, talking about small businesses. And actually, if you're thinking of starting a small business. I know I've done it myself. I know other people have had the conversation about saying, I'd like to start a small business. Then once you get into it, you go, wow, there's a lot to think about. And so I just wanted to cover a few of the points, or pointers, if you want to say it that way, a few of the pointers of what it takes to get a small business together. Now with me is Mark Trumbull. And he is with SCORE, which we'll explain what that is, but he's based out of Pittsburgh. Mark, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thank you, Tracy.
And Mark, what is SCORE, first of all, before we talk about how to get a business together, but what is SCORE? What does it stand for?
Well, technically, SCORE stands for Service Corporation of Retired Executives. We got our start as an organization that tapped the talents of people who had retired from their business careers. We're no longer only retired executives, although retired people still remain a large portion of our group. Service Corps of Retired Executives is what the acronym SCORE stands for.
Now, this is a free service for people, right?
Yes, it is. All the services, the mentoring services that we provide to our clients are free and confidential.
So let me ask you a few questions about starting a small business. And I say small business because I would think that most people who want to put a business together are not ready to launch this like major corporation. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Many people want to jump in. Many people just want to start finding a building, space, business name, and logo out there. But what's actually important to do first before you even get to all of that?
That's a great question. The first step that you want to take in your sort of journey to starting a business begins with a plan. The purpose of the plan is to help provide a guide that will help to ensure that your business has a market, that it has potential to grow, and it has potential to make money. In the process of building that plan, you need to make sure that those three aspects are a high likelihood. Otherwise, why go into business?
Well, and when you say plan, you actually mean something that's called a business plan. I mean, it's not just a matter of sitting down and saying, oh, yeah, this is what I'd like to do in the future. You're talking about putting together paperwork, and there's different sections to the business plan.
Yes, there are. Probably the first thing that you want to explore and be confident in is understanding who is going to buy your product or service. And just as a precursor to that, the answer is not everybody. You need to define your best customer, who that person is who will buy the most often, who will be your most loyal customer for your service. The second thing that you want to know is, what about my product or service is different or better than what my competitors offer? You want to be able to answer, well, why will customers choose me? And again, it's kind of a footnote to that. It would be best if the answer was not, I'm the cheapest. You want to have a positive benefit that is not offered by your competitors. And then the third question you need to answer is, will I make money? And this requires understanding what you can charge for your product or service, and you need to have an in-depth understanding of what your costs are.
What are my costs? How do I figure that out?
There are ways you can begin to explore what costs associated with a small business might be. Certainly a simple and the most common means of doing that is you simply do an online search that explores the costs of being in business, small business costs of business. You can go to tax forms that will allow you to list your costs of business. And as you do this search, obviously there'll be a multitude of examples that are provided. You can go to YouTube and you can search on business finances, business costs of doing business. There are just a multitude of sources out there that can help you begin to conceive of the cost that may be associated with the business that you're thinking about starting.
Mark, since we're talking about finances for businesses at this point, let me ask you this question, because a lot of us who want to start up a business or a side business, we want to see if it'll take off. We really don't have any money to start with. How do we get a business together and to take it to the next level when there's really no money in the coffer, if you will?
Yeah, that is quite common. And it also, as you might imagine, makes the task challenging. So the first thing I guess I would say is don't quit your day job. you're going to need to have some source of income as you get your business up and running. And doing that takes a good bit of time. It can take several months, actually, to put yourself in a position to sell your first unit of product or your first hour of service.
So when is it time then to get a bank account for a business? When, and since I'm asking when is the right time, how about the logo, the name, the building? When is it the right time to take all of those steps?
I would say the first thing that you need to do as you think about starting your business is a business plan. And it doesn't have to be a long 20-page document. There are a lot of condensed business plan tools out there that can help you begin to get a sense of potential for success. And I would encourage anyone who's thinking about starting a business to start with one of these sort of shortened business plan tools. Once you have that done, once you feel that that your business offers the opportunity to make some money, to be profitable, then I think you need to start taking steps that involve registering your business or first deciding what structure you want to be. A lot of small businesses start off as a sole proprietorship, but there are other options to explore.
Yeah, before you go any further, do explain quickly what levels there are or what different kinds of businesses there are.
There are four basic kinds of business. There's the sole proprietorship. It's the individual who just wants to go into business for themselves. You've got corporations. One of the more popular forms that has emerged over the last several years is an LLC. And in some businesses could be a nonprofit if they have more of a mission orientation.
And which one is the best one for somebody who wants to try just a small business to put together?
Probably starting off as a sole proprietorship is certainly the simplest way to go. It does not have some of the benefits of like an LLC, but it's certainly the simplest way to get started in your business. The benefits of the LLC that a sole proprietorship doesn't provide is that it insulates you from legal risks, really, that might stem from the business. It separates you from the business.
Mark Trumbull with us. He's with SCORE. SCORE, of course, is an organization that has mentors for businesses and for those who want to start up businesses. And Mark, back to the question that I had asked you just a moment ago, when is it time to do everything? So you're talking about the business plan, you're talking about deciding what kind of company that you'd like to put together. So where do we go from there?
So you've got a plan, for example. You also have a structure that you think is right for you. And by the way, Tracy, as you're thinking about a structure for your business, one of the most important members of your business team and probably one of the first dollars that you would spend in getting prepared to go into business would be to find a small business lawyer who can help you really think through the best course of action to take for your business, starting with what might be the best structure. Once you have that, then if you're not going to use your name for your business, you know, Sally Smith Quilts or something like that, you want to call it Amish Quilts, you would have to register your business name. And that's a relatively simple process. I think that's something you could do yourself. But again, if you have a lawyer for not a great deal of money, that person can help you do that. And you'd have to, if you choose this, what they call fictitious name, you'd have to register that and publish it in some business listings. In our area, it's typically the Business Times, and it costs maybe $150, something like that, I believe. You then need to get a tax ID with the federal government and then register your business in the state where you're located, typically where you're located. And of course, in our case, it would be Pennsylvania. And so the last preliminary step you need to take is to get a DUNS number. A DUNS number is used by vendors and creditors to verify your business. And, you know, as you get up and running, it allows them to see how sort of well you pay your bills.
So once you get all the planning stages in place, well, I can't even say that we really talked about all the planning stages, because I'm looking at something I wrote down, and it said marketing. Should you plan for the marketing before you actually start the business off?
Great point. Yes. When people think about marketing, they usually think about that as, oh, you know, the advertising that I'm going to do and brochures that I might prepare. And they think of it in terms of sort of the communication and the messaging that I'm going to make to people who buy my product. And actually, marketing is bigger than that. Marketing is also includes that research that you do up front that we were talking about a little earlier, which is defining your customer, defining what's different about your product versus your competitors. It has to do with how you price your product. It's these upfront stages, steps that are absolutely critical to launching your business on the right trajectory that falls under marketing. So, to answer your question, marketing is a critical step in the planning process, particularly this market research aspect.
I would think technology would run along the same lines as well, because technology has just come in hand with businesses. It seems like you can't have a business without the technology, the social media side of things.
Well, yes, and, you know, technology permeates really so many aspects of getting your business up and running. It's a critical research tool as you try to understand the market for your business. It can also be a outstanding way, especially if you don't have money as a small business person, to sort of test the waters. If you can set up your business online, you can begin to promote your business through social media, which includes Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, if you're going primarily to consumers. If you have a business-to-business market out there, you can leverage LinkedIn to help you there. That's a great tool for that. And you can begin to get a sense of consumer or customer interest in your product. So technology, internet plays a key role there. And then, of course, technology's role in communicating the benefits of your product and targeting the customers that might be interested in buying you is very important.
Mark, let me ask you this question, because there are many stories out there of malls and brick-and-mortar stores just struggling in some areas. Some are thriving, but some are struggling and closing down. So what's your advice to somebody who wants to start a business right now that would either eventually or need to have a brick-and-mortar store?
So in most instances, if the person starting a business today offering a product or service is going to want to make that product available online, and they're also at some point going to want to offer that product you know, through retail stores or through a storefront of their own. If you're reasonably well financed, you can go down both those paths, and of course that gives your business an opportunity to grow faster and reach sort of critical mass more quickly. If you don't have a lot of money to start your business, beginning your business as an online offering is a good way to go. If you take that route, it's relatively inexpensive to get started that way, and it allows you to prove your business so that when you do want to go to brick and mortar, and especially if that means going to other retailers to sell your product, then you've got some proof of concept, if you will, proof that there's demand for your product, and it makes the potential to sell much more likely.
Mark, is there an industry that's most profitable right now?
Oh, my. That's a tough one. There are, you know, profitability is oftentimes achieved by reaching some significant scale, and of course small businesses don't have that luxury. So I would be reluctant, Tracy, to say that, oh, this is the industry where there's most profit.
Then let me ask you this, Mark. Is it important to be able to get into a business of something that you love, that you have a passion about?
Yeah, it's very important that you're going to need to have a great passion for whatever it is that you decide that you want to sell. But a passion for your product is not going to be, you know, the only requirement for success. Your passion needs to also be linked to, you know, an ability to find customers who will buy, and an understanding that your market has growth potential. It's very difficult to be successful in a competitive marketplace that's in a state of decline. It gets tougher and tougher and tougher to fight for a consumer or customer dollar there. And then you've got to be smart about your pricing and tenacious about controlling your costs. So passion, customers, growth, and right pricing and tenacious cost control are sort of all ingredients required to have a hope of success in small business.
Mark Trumbull, he is one of the mentors with SCORE. It's S-C-O-R-E, and it's a business, a nonprofit organization, I should say, that mentors individuals in small businesses or other business, too. Do you take on large business as well, Mark?
We will, but the vast majority of our clients are people thinking about starting a business and want some help in that regard, or people who have a small business and would like some advice on how to deal with issues they're facing.
In our last few minutes together, I want to talk about SCORE for a couple of minutes, because why is it so important that we get business training or mentors like SCORE to assist us in what we want to do?
Well, it's so for most people, getting started in a small business, unless it's your second, third, or fourth small business startup, if it's your first one, there are a lot of parts that must be done right to get your business up and running well. And there are a lot of resources out there who can help people. We talk about a lawyer being a key member of your team, and that's critical. You'll want to eventually have a good accountant who can help you manage the finances of your business. Insurance is a critical aspect. You're going to want to have an insurance agent that can put together a good insurance coverage for you. But in addition to that, there are small business development corporations, SBDCs, typically associated with universities, that can offer some great help in getting started. And then you have organizations like SCORE that are great in helping you think through specific steps along the way. So there's a lot of different forms of support out there, Tracy, and I would encourage anyone thinking about getting started in small business to explore each of them.
Mark, talk to the individual right now that's hearing you, and they've been inspired to start a business of whatever it is that they're passionate about, and they thought it would be easy, quick, and simple. One stop, yeah. And it's done. And now they're hearing you talk and think, wow, that just dashed all my hopes, because that's a lot of information. I don't want to discourage people from starting small businesses, because it is so important and vital to economies anywhere, not just here in our area, but everywhere. And so what would you say to that individual who just feels overwhelmed by everything that you're saying?
Well, so I would suggest that they feeling overwhelmed is a legitimate and perhaps appropriate feeling when you're starting on a small business. However, it's not futile. Thousands of people do it every day and have great success that change their lives for the better. But I would suggest that a good first step, frankly, is to contact SCORE. They simply go to our website, pittsburgh.score.org, and right at the top of the menu bar is find a mentor, and you just go through the simple steps there that take about 5 minutes, and someone will be assigned to you that can help you think through these initial steps, and they can really save you a tremendous amount of time and, frankly, anguish to help you kind of get those first steps going. They can point you in the right direction, help you find the right resources, and help you get those initial steps taken care of that get you on your way to starting a business.
And when you talk about somebody will be assigned to, I'll say a client, even though I know this is a free service, but a mentorship, if you will. You have people assigned because you have people all over the place. It's not just they're coming from Pittsburgh or they're coming from a certain office.
Oh, that's a great point. Thank you for bringing that up. That's exactly right. In our Pittsburgh office, we have 50 people who have a great deal of business experience and can offer a great deal of assistance. But SCORE is a national organization, and across the country, we have 10,000 people who are interested in helping people get their small businesses started. And all of them are a potential resource to anyone in the Pittsburgh area or anywhere interested in getting started. When you go online, you could search our national database for a mentor anywhere in the country, and you could work with them online via Skype and email and that kind of thing, or you can choose someone who is in the Pittsburgh area who can help you face-to-face as well as online. If you select someone in Pittsburgh and they're helping you get started, but you begin to get into specific issues that they might not be able to help you with as well as they would like, they can help you tap the SCORE national database, or they can help you find other resources that might be better suited to your particular need.
And for folks in this area, it doesn't necessarily mean you drive to Pittsburgh. You could drive to a neutral location and meet in public, or you could have a phone conversation. So it doesn't necessarily mean that we're driving to Pittsburgh.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. SCORE mentors are happy to meet with people virtually anywhere. For example, if someone in Butler was interested in a SCORE mentor, they could set up some midpoint location to meet. A lot of SCORE mentors would actually be perfectly happy to go to Butler. Or, as you say, they could set up a phone call, a video conference call, deal in email. Any one of those forms of communication is just fine for a SCORE mentor.
Mark, to close us out, I just want to get your final thoughts on, again, just this whole process, on how detailed it is, but how this can be done.
Yeah. So it definitely can be done, but it requires some tenacity, and it requires commitment and passion, as you had mentioned earlier, Tracy, because there's going to be upfront work necessary to ensure or to improve the likelihood of success, as well as to meet all the legal requirements and appropriate business requirements to get started. But it definitely can be done. I mean, as you were saying earlier, small business is the engine of our economy. 95% of businesses out there are small businesses that employ less than 50 people, I believe. And a lot of people get started in their small business every day, and it becomes a great source of income, and it might be supplemental income. You might find that your small business is one that requires maybe 3-4 hours a day and generates a nice added income to your day job, or it might, you know, blossom into something that takes, you know, your full time and generates a great income for you to live on, and it can be certainly a very satisfying experience as you work your way through the process. Just know that there are a lot of sources out there ready, willing, and able to help you succeed, and certainly SCORE is one of them.
Mark Trumbull with SCORE, of course, in the Pittsburgh office. If you're searching online, it's pittsburgh.score.org. Mark, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Tracy.
Holiday season has made its way to Osterling's Lawn and Garden. They have plenty of supplies to get you ready for the holidays. Stock up on gift certificates, gift baskets, tree ornaments, and holiday cards. Osterling's has warm winter-scented candles, hats, gloves, sleds, and even toy stockings for your pets. Be prepared for the holiday and winter season with all the essentials from Osterling's Lawn and Garden, where they'll have everything you'll need at a great price.
Armco Credit Union has one sweetheart of a holiday gift for you this year. The event you waited for all year long starts a week early. They've slashed auto rates. Starting December 25th through February 29th, you can get an auto rate as low as 1.99% annual percentage rate. Check out armcocu.com or call 724-284-2020 for credit cost and terms. Armco Credit Union is closed Christmas Day, but you can still apply for a loan online or on the mobile app in 3 easy steps. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
Escape the hustle and bustle and enjoy breakfast, lunch, or dinner at Michael's Restaurant. Meet at Michael's for a get-together with family and friends or on your way to or from the light show. And don't forget, every Friday night is prime rib night. Need a quick gift? Michael's Restaurant gift cards also make great stocking stuffers.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way, getting there starts here. Just hop the bus, easy and economical. Just hop the bus, no car, no problem, the bus will get you there. Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Well, welcome back to the program. Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey today. And I thought it would be really fun to talk about esports for a moment. I know if you don't play, I get it. Now, here's the story. Okay, so I have kids that are like teenagers, preteen, that kind of era, right? And so at one point, they were playing Mario, and they're like, oh, Mom, we just need a third player. Just take this. Oh, they didn't know Mom could play Mario, right? So I saw in their faces like this amazement, like, wow, okay, Mom can play. So advance it to where we are now, right? This is a couple years ago. Now where we are is we have so many games that are beyond my even thought process that Mom can't play Mario anymore. So now they always dig on me a little bit. They're like, oh, come on, Mom. And I'm like, no, I can't do it. I just can't do it. But the reason I thought of that the other day is because, of course, my kids were playing. And recently we've talked about esports in this area in Butler County. And South Butler School District is starting up an esports gaming team. And what we're going to do is talk to the principal of Knock High School, Mr. Todd Truckamuff,
And the interesting thing about this, I know you all are on vacation, so I need to first say thank you very much for being here.
Nice to talk to you. Thank you for having me on.
So can you play Mario Brothers?
I can play Mario Brothers.
Can you? Nice.
Mario Brothers, Mario Kart Racing, and that's about the extent of it.
I know, right? I can do the racing because it's easier to maneuver the car. After that, I mean, but games have come to such an interesting place because back in the day, you know, when we all had Atari, to age myself, but it seemed to be simplistic, and now we're just at 3D and things jumping off the screen. And do you still play? Do you find that where we are is just amazing?
It is. I have three teenage sons, so I have a 17-year-old, a soon-to-be 15-year-old, and a 13-year-old, and they all play, but they have different interests in what they enjoy playing. So I have one who's on the computer playing, and then I have one who is he's into sports. He loves playing soccer and FIFA 20, which I can play. And then my middle son, he's back into Minecraft, so he's doing a lot of that. So it's pretty neat that way that they all enjoy playing, but they have just different interest in it. So I think it's pretty cool.
And I really wanted to talk to you about this today, too, because most of our listening audience, I mean, they may play, I don't know, but, you know, they may have kids that play. They're more like us kids or grandkids that would play. But still, when we hear esports teams, it's something new to us. So explain to us how this is going to run at South Butler. How do you create an esports team?
Right, and really, the genesis of it was probably very much kind of like the conversations that you're having, and probably like many of the listeners, if they have teenage kids, that, hey, you're doing your homework, they want to get on, and they're playing their games. But then they say, well, you know, it's competitive, especially some of the games that we're going to talk about today, that it's just, you know, you're yelling at your kids, like, what are you doing? You need to be doing some other things. But, you know, you come to learn when they say, hey, sit and watch and see what I'm doing and how engaging it is. You kind of see that they've really tapped into something that they enjoy doing. And again, as a parent, you can use it as leverage. I mean, obviously.
Right, yeah.
But I think if you just sit and watch what they're doing from an interaction standpoint, from a communication standpoint, you know, it seems strange because we think of sports, you know, as some of those traditional things, right, that you're going to practice and, you know, you have your coach and you're doing all those things. Esports, as I started to dig into it, it really has a lot of the same components to it as to what they're doing in an actual school setting when it comes to esports.
One thing that I think that is fascinating as you're talking about the communication element of it, being a broadcaster and being in communications for all these years, is I'm amazed at how these kids, and I don't mean this as a joke, but can play and narrate what they're doing at the same time. Because that takes a lot of talent to be able to do that.
Sure. I mean, again, if you're just, and again, I'm amazed when I look at hand-eye coordination because they have their headphones on, they're speaking, they may have one or two screens going on. And one of the games that we're going to be offering as part of this is something called League of Legends, which is one of the biggest sports games, competitive games that's out there. And it's actually done on a desktop, on a keyboard, and you have to use keys, and you're talking, and plus you're using a mouse at the same time. So one hand it's a keyboard, other hand it's a mouse, and you're talking exactly what you're saying, that all of that coordination to be able to do what they need to do is amazing.
It sounds like, not quite compared, but it sounds like the days that I was in band back in high school, because you had to march, think, you know, remember your pattern, mm-hmm. and play an instrument at the same time.
Yep.
Drummers
okay.
doing two different things with two different okay. hands sometimes. And so when we're getting to, and before you talk about League of Legends, when they're on their headsets as a team, are they talking to each other, or are they talking to the opposing team, or are they not on headsets when they're going to be playing this with the Esports League in South Butler?
Right. So how it's set up, and maybe just to backtrack just a little bit. So, much like many adults right now, you're saying, well, you know, is this a sport, right? And, you know, that's left open to interpretation. And we here at NOC are running it, you know, as a club to get students engaged. And I'll get into the benefits of why we're doing that and why our superintendent and the board was supportive of that. So what we're doing is we did a survey to get some interest because, again, I've seen this, and it might have been happenstance that I also got an email about this last spring. The setup of it, or the server, is an organization called PlayVS, and they're actually associated with the National Federation of High School Sports throughout the country. So it's not just kind of a fly-by-night company. I'm like, okay, well, this seems somewhat legitimate. So I talked to my computer science teacher. I said, hey, would you be interested in hosting this, having this take place? And she said, sure. She's like, I think it would be great. It would be it's great for STEM, getting girls involved, boys involved. And for me, the benefits were really reaching some students that might not otherwise be reached through in a school setting. So you have kids who are in the marching band, in the musical, that play sports, right? But we also have a group of students who, come to school. They're involved in, let's say, openly technology and gaming, but there is no formal setting for them to be part of the school community. And that was really the big sell for me, that we're reaching out to a set of students or a subset of students to get them engaged in the school and becoming, members of that school community. So she bought into that. I was all in, and we said, okay, well, do we have the facility to be able to do it? Because the neat thing about it is you need a computer lab. You need to have the lab that would support the games from a memory standpoint, and I've come to learn the video card standpoint. Can the computers you have in the school support the video? Other than that, that's really what you need. The competitions or the games themselves are, right now, what we're looking at is a League of Legends, which is on a Tuesday after school, the competitions, the matches, and then something called Rocket League, and another game called Smite.
And so for all of us who say we've never heard of any of those, they're all appropriate, age appropriate, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I started going down this road and talking with our superintendent, hey, this is something I'd be interested in doing as a club or sport for our kids, and that's obviously the first question. All of the games, these games are either 13, so a teen game. They're not, I think people might think that it's first-person shooter games and things like that. That is not what these are. Rocket League is actually, it's kind of like a soccer game where kids are in a car, they have a character, it's like an indoor soccer facility that they're driving cars around and trying to knock a soccer ball into a net. League of Legends, probably for maybe some of our older viewers or listeners, I'm sorry, is, I would equate it maybe to Zelda. But you have a team of five that each there's about 189 characters. You pick a character. They have different, my son would kill me, powers.
abilities, skills.
Ability, right. Abilities or skills that they're able to do, and that you need to progress through the game. And so that's where the teamwork comes in, because based on the character and who you're working with, that you use those strengths and that they have to coordinate and collaborate to be able to do what they need to do in League of Legends. So
when you're coordinating like that, do you have a lead, like a captain, like when we're thinking of sports, like on a football team, do you have a captain of this esports?
You would, depending on what game you're playing. And again, I'm more familiar with League of Legends.
Okay.
In that, there's five players on that team. There's a certain area that you need to get to, that you have the other team who's there, that you need to defeat them, but there's different lanes within the game that you have to protect and or conquer, and really you have to coordinate who's going where. So you're looking at multiple screens, the hand-eye coordination is just crazy what kids need to be able to do. So, I guess the long answer is that you have someone who would kind of be that captain to say, okay, we're doing X, Y, or Z, here's what we need to do. And to answer that first question, when they have those headsets on, they're just talking to each other to coordinate as to what they're going to do throughout the course of that match.
Let me ask you, folks, if you're just joining us, Mr. Todd Truffemach is the principal, the high school principal of, I keep saying South Butler, but yes, we've been talking lately in the news how that name change is going to just be Knock, but at Knock. And so we're talking about the esports team that's going to be created, offered in the spring. And are you going to have minimums for students? Do they have to have do they maintain a C level or higher? Or what surrounds them being able to play?
Right. So that's a great question. So as we talked about it, because it's a club, but it's a sport as well, that students will have to comply. We have an activity fee that students would pay to participate, because we have that at South Butler, or soon to be Knox School District. There's also, for students to participate in any activities, we also have drug testing that they'll have to comply with, as well as when you're saying, you know, C average, things like that, that they'll also go through our AD, much like any other sport, that they need to make sure that they maintain a certain QPA to be eligible to continue to play. So we're treating it as if it were football, baseball, basketball, any of those other sports when it comes to what our expectation is for students.
Is there any opportunity right now for this to be open to the public, or is this just going to be offered right now to the Knox students?
Yes, this is right. This is for our students here at Knock. Now, again, as we've done some research and seen what other schools are doing, not only in Pennsylvania but across the country, it's something that has grown. I can tell you that when we talked about this last year and we surveyed students, would you be interested? We had about 40 students who said, "Yep, I would be interested in doing something like that." Even when we rolled out what those three games are. And again, going back to the games that are offered, that is something that is offered through PlayVS in conjunction with the organization to say, these are the games that are available, and those games are vetted to make sure that they are age appropriate.
I know you mentioned a couple of minutes ago the advantages for students, and I appreciate you covering that. But how about a school district in and of itself? I know you're not quite into the league yet, just preparing this, again, being offered in the spring. But what kind of advantage do you think, what's the benefit for a school district as a whole to be able to offer this? And I know you mentioned that, you know, you're reaching students themselves who aren't a part of maybe another kind of club. But when you're looking at other school districts, because I know we're just talking to you, but you're, I do believe, the first in Butler County, right, the school district?
Yeah, I believe so.
In the county. And so I'm just, if others are listening from other school districts, would it be of interest for them to possibly do this? So that's why I ask you the question, what benefit to a school district does this have?
Sure. I mean, one, from the student engagement standpoint, you know, you have, there's character development and kind of building that, you know, community, and there's teamwork and, you know, the leadership and kind of strategic thinking that kids need to do. You know, so from an individual standpoint, there's that. But the other thing that, as again, we've researched this to see, all right, is this something? Is this a road, direction that we want to go? You know, there's 400 million fans worldwide. I think if you turn your TV on and you see, you know, an esports competition, it's broadcast on TV. But from that standpoint too, that combined between the music industry and music and movie industry, that there's more money generated within gaming very broadly than there is in those two industries combined. The other thing that's going on now is there's over 200 colleges and universities that are offering esports scholarships. And again, when I first heard that, I'm like, that sounds kind of crazy. But when you look at it from the standpoint of a college or university, that you know, there are majors that surround not just the coding, because I think we think a lot about, when you talk about STEM, you know, coding and all those things from that math side of what you need to do to get into computer program, computer science. There's a whole other aspect to gaming when it comes to marketing, when it comes to sales, entrepreneurship, game design, character, or story development, that it's such a broad range of options and opportunities as kids graduate and go to a 2 or 4 year school to get involved in this. And again, when I see that there's scholarship opportunities for students to do this, you know, anywhere from, you know, a few hundred bucks to, depending on the school, full scholarships to play esports, much like, you know, a full scholarship for any other sport. So,
and I always go back to the days where when computers were starting to be popular back in the day. That's all I'll say. Not how many years ago it was, but we had to learn a bit of computer programming, and that was not fun for a lot of people. And so now you're talking about kids who are doing that on a consistent basis and can do it very easily. And I think that's a very important skill to have.
Oh, absolutely. And again, I can't stress enough that really what we're doing and looking at is just a really different set of students within a school system who may not be recognized any other way. That they're coming to school, they're doing their work, and then they're going home and maybe going to work. And this is, yes, entertainment, but it's also how they are engaging with their peers.
Absolutely. I just have two more quick questions for you,
sure.
And then I want to let you go. I don't want to keep you longer than
sure.
than you have. But because you would be at NOC, and mm-hmm. I assume that's where training, quote-unquote, would happen,
sure.
or you know, the sessions after school, where are your competitors? Are they going to be out there in the world, you know, because
yeah.
you're talking about the Internet, or will you have some competitors that you know, maybe a neighboring school district down the road?
Right. So how the competitions themselves work, so if we're talking about League of Legends, those matches are held on Tuesdays. Most schools would be available to start playing between 3 and 5. That's about the time frame that they give for us to compete. The organization itself would set up who you compete against. So in the state of Pennsylvania, there could be there's a number of schools that are out east. That's the beauty of it, that you could be in your school competing against a team from, you know, Harrisburg or Philadelphia or, you know, you name it, Hershey. Those matches are organized and set. You log into that server. Those other teams would be there at the same time, and then you have your match. So it's pretty neat that way, that you don't have to leave. There's no transportation. You don't have to worry about the weather unless school's canceled.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to participate. So the league itself is set up by the organization, by PlayVS, to say, okay, you're playing this team at that time, and then they're logging into the server at that time.
One more question for you before I let
yep.
you go. So
sure.
what's the, I say end game, no pun intended, but what's the end game in this? For football, of course, you got trophies, volleyball, basketball,
yep.
baseball. You know, you have all these awards that are given out. What's the end game when you're talking about esports?
Sure. So there is the ability to win state championships in this. In Pennsylvania right now, because there are a number of teams, but there's not a significant enough number of teams to crown a state championship. But because this is recognized by the NFHS, that PlayVS is, my understanding through my webinar, is that they are working with the state to be able to actually have and crown a state champion. In this, so you have your regular season, you would have a playoff, and you would have a state champion, much like any other sport that is out there. So it's pretty neat.
Do you host a webinar on a regular basis?
Well, the organization, again, we expressed interest in it.
Okay.
In PlayVS, so to learn more, and again, we were on board with it, but
okay.
it was kind of really diving into some of those details from, you know, working with your technology department, talking to kids. What the expectations
gotcha.
Are, you know, some of those questions that you're asking, kind of the end game, state championships, how does all that look moving forward? So, as I said, it's pretty exciting. I think it's exciting for our kids, and, you know, the benefits, you know, as I've laid out here, are just really across the board, not just for our kids, you know, being engaged and being a part of the school as well, but some things that they can do with this, you know, post-high school. They were encouraging kids to record, you know, their sessions, so much like film from a football or basketball player, so you could send to some of these schools to show them, hey, you know what, I can earn a scholarship.
Yeah.
So
it sounds a lot of fun. Sounds like an exciting thing, not only for Butler County, but NOC being the first out of the schools in Butler County to have an esports team. Again, folks, if you're just joining us, we're going to wrap it up with Mr. Trufamuck. He is the principal at the high school there at NOC, and starting this esports team beginning in the spring. And I'd only have to say one thing, though. If gaming, practice gaming, is the only thing I can take away from my kids for doing their homework, you're making it rough on us.
Yeah, good luck, right?
Yeah, right, when they say, I got to practice, Mom.
Well, you know what? We'll have practice after school, and you won't have to play when you come
home. Great. All right, you have that ironed out. Well, thank you so much for your time, and good luck with the esports team.
All right, thank you very much, too.
A special message at Christmas and holiday time from the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. They would not only like to wish you and yours a very, very merry and holy Christmas and a happy new year, but also to say thanks. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all of those who have supported them in their efforts during the past year. Thanks to those of you who donated to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store. To those of you who patronized the thrift store. All the proceeds there go to help fund the food cupboard and the client aid program. And thanks to those of you who donated provisions to the food cupboard throughout the year. And thanks to those of you, too, who donated extra produce from your garden during the harvest season to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul food cupboard. Thank you so much. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of you and yours from the Society of St. Vincent de Paul in Butler.
Tobacco for Less is perfect if you like to think big. Tobacco for Less is Western Pennsylvania's largest glass emporium, which has hundreds of glass pipes, a custom walk-in humidor stocked with a huge selection of cigars, and a 19-foot vape juice bar. They're always stocked with standard tobacco products, and their health and wellness department maintains a wide selection of CBD products. Tobacco for Less is always expanding and adding to their product lines. Be sure to check out their Sharon location that has just added a large health and wellness department. Stop by one of their locations in Butler, Sharon, or Aliquippa for all your smoking and vaping needs.
And happy holidays from Tobacco for Less.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
You've been so busy getting ready for the holidays that you totally forgot to get your vehicle ready for the winter. No worries. West End Tire and Service kept their snow tire inventory up, but don't